Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together, we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Joining me today is licensed professional clinical counselor, Rachel Allison. Rachel has extensive experience working with children, adolescents, young adults, and families. She's passionate about helping people navigate grief, trauma, and complex family dynamics, and she specializes in providing culturally sensitive care within the Anabaptist community. Today, we'll be talking about the calling God has placed on her heart to be a people helper, and how he's positioned her in a unique and underserved region of the country to be his hands and his feet. Her professional work has led her to help Amish clients express emotions and heal in ways traditional talk therapy may not always allow, even across cultural differences or language barriers. Rachel is happily married to Chris Allison, and they're both part of the AACC family, literally. Chris is the brother of our CEO, Ben Allison. Rachel is the sister-in-law. When she's not in the office or the barn out in Ohio, you'll find her homeschooling their three boys alongside of Chris. Rachel, my friend, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's a blessing to get to come and talk about this stuff.
Cannot wait to dive deeper into this, Rachel. I'm just thinking about setting the scene here. We're obviously going to talk about just culturally sensitive treatment. We talked about the Amish community. When people hear the word Amish, what naturally comes to mind is Lancaster, Pennsylvania, right? That's what I think of naturally. But you guys are based out in Ohio. Speak to that if you would.
Yeah, so actually it's funny because people do, they often think of Pennsylvania, but per capita, Ohio has more Amish.
Wow.
So it has overall, you know, by population standards, more Amish. Also, though, Amish are really all across the U.S. They are out in Iowa, Missouri, New York, Florida. They really are kind of diversifying and going, you know, across the U.S. Also, we get a lot from Canada and other countries like Paraguay. They actually are out, you know, ministering in other countries, too, and trying to convert people. And so we get them from really all over the world.
You know, Rachel, I would love to ask this up front because I know we're going to dive deep into, you know, just your work with the Amish communities. But, you know, there's something beautiful about the simplicity of what they bring to the table. And you having grown up around them, I'd love to hear just maybe some of the things that you've learned that you've grown to appreciate about them as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. So often the Amish, I think this happens with so many people we work with, you see the worst of the worst. So we see all of the brokenness and the bad situations. And so they get a bad rep, and even in the church as being, you know, maybe a little on the legalistic side or very strict on some things, but there is so much beauty in their culture. It is very focused on family. It's focused on, you know, living to honor God. The big thing that across the board with all of the Amish is that it really changes based on what order and what church, what the rules are going to be or what that looks like. Some of them are what most people would probably think of, you know, no electricity whatsoever, no phone service, only using buggies. In our area, it's not uncommon that they have cell phones, that they might use some limited, electricity or appliances or things like that. So it really can change. When I say Amish, it can mean a very, very large variety of people.
Right. And so I'm interested then, you know, God has clearly called you into this people helping space. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those that we reach, even through these conversations, they're licensed clinical counselors, they're psychologists, psychiatrists, people helpers, pastors. They're just people that want to help others, again, effectively care for people God's way. And for you, I'm interested, when did you feel that calling on your life? And is this a population that you expected to serve, or is it just something you kind of fell into going back home?
Yeah, absolutely not. It was not what I was expecting at all. This was a God thing. Chris and I were Liberty University graduates, and one year when I was in my master's program, they were trying to get people to come speak at the VASIS conference, which is here in Virginia. And it came up to me, I was like, we should talk about cultural competency with the Amish. And I didn't even know where I work now. I didn't know it existed at the time. My dad is a family doc in the area, and he said, yeah, I talked to him about some of the cultural concerns with the Amish. And he said, you really need to talk to Springhaven, which is where I work. And so I called them up. And as I'm hearing about, you know, this people group is so underreached. There's only three places like this in the U.S. that really specialize in making it comfortable for the Amish and making treatment not just accessible, but something that they feel comfortable coming to. And so when I got to step into that space, when I heard this is something I could do, you know, it was something where God said, dream big, and said, I'm going to do something even bigger, right? Because I wanted to do equine therapy and things. And honestly, I never thought I could do equine therapy. And I started talking to this place, and like, yeah, we work with the Amish. We do inpatient, or really it's intensive outpatient treatment. And we offer equine therapy, and we have a house for postpartum, for mothers that are postpartum. And we, you know, work with kids, which is really where my heart is I love working with the kids. But with all of, you know, it's just this incredible place where God said, you know, I'm not just going to help with one thing. We offer psychiatry and medical care and outpatient counseling, intensive inpatient counseling, really anything somebody can be looking for within that community. We pretty much have something to offer them. And so I think just having that, it became my heartbeat more, was seeing this people group. And the more I worked with them, my compassion for them was stirred of, you know, as someone who has been freed in my relationship with Christ, wanting to see not the chains that have come along with some of their beliefs, right? That where the OCD and scrupulosity and trauma and all these things that have touched them, how they can have that and still be good Amish people. Right. And so it's not my job to change them from that, but I can support them and help them have this comorbidity of a mental health problem and be a good Amish person.
Mm. I can't wait to dive into like equine assisted therapy, what you've learned throughout that whole entire process, how God is continuing to use that as a tool for his honor and his glory. Yeah. But you mentioned some things, OCD, scrupulosity, trauma, that a lot of the Amish community have suffered and they've endured. And I do want to chat about this because I know that is a very underserved population group just overall. Yeah. And so from what your experiences, I'd love to ask, what are some of the main challenges that you do see, but also why do you think it might be such a challenge for that population to seek therapy and to trust others?
Yeah, so some of the big things we see is because the Amish culture is so insular, mm-hmm. right? You don't see a lot of genetic variance. So there are actually a lot of studies even done in the area we live where they're noticing genetic disorders that are specific to the Amish there. Wow. But on top of that, so anything genetic, anything OCD, you know, we see high amounts of schizophrenia, bipolar, a lot of these things that can be passed genetically. And since there isn't genetic variance, we see higher rates of that. Mm. One of the things that's hard is we can't do a lot of studies because they don't really report everything with the government. So even being able to catch how many people, the numbers game is very difficult. But what we do see is a systemic problem in a lot of the churches where you're not educating on issues like sexuality or consent and things like that. And it causes so much trauma. And then it's become normalized, as I've had many clients where the parents are saying, well, that was my norm, right? I was raped too. Why is it such a big deal that my daughter is dealing with this, right? I learned to live with it. She'll learn to live with it. And so they are a very loving culture, but it just gets passed down until it's considered normal. Right. Until there's no concept of this is brokenness right here. And it's not going to be something that we can just kind of glance over. It didn't serve you well to do that. And it won't serve your children well to do that either. Right. So I think that's part of it. One of their values would be treating things naturally. Right. Mm. So a lot of resistance to medication, not always again, but so when you have things like schizophrenia and bipolar, where meds are really essential to the treatment, you know, the treatment plan here, I don't do the medication, but trying to help them understand and trust that I want to help them to the best of my ability, but I can only get them so far. Right.
Yes.
God, sometimes our brains got broken when sin entered our world. And sometimes that means we can work on it with these things. But sometimes it's that God gave us medication and gave us wonderful, skilled, wise doctors that can help manage symptoms that are not really safe to keep unmedicated.
Yeah. You know, you're diving into a lot of the biological things, like you said, the genetics that are passed down generation to generation. I'm also thinking about just some of the family dynamic type of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's not specific to just the Amish population. That's everybody. I mean, every person that we sit across from typically has something as it relates to attachment, as it relates to family dynamics. But when you talk about just all of the different things, the legalism that you kind of hinted at earlier, that's maybe there, the authoritarianism within those kind of parent-child relationships. Yeah. I can only imagine, like, working with Amish children and teens and adolescents, what are some of the biggest challenges that you might see with them?
I think that they, you know, I do see a lot of good relationships too, but one thing that they value is having as many kids as the Lord allows. So one of the reasons we have a postpartum house is we see postpartum become very, very complex, probably more so than what we I would associate as usual within the English population. Because you may have a mother who has had postpartum and she's on baby 8 or 9 within 10 years, and every time it's, you know, it's becoming more complex. Her body hasn't had time to deal with this. And even aside from the physiological parts of it, I'm a mother of 3 and I get overwhelmed. and you know, they have 8 or 9 and there's just this, they want to attach with their kids, but kids, you know, the attachment, the safety needs are met, but the attachment needs are sometimes not being able to be met as much as the kid would like. It's very common that older children help care for the younger children. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a healthy thing in some ways, but we all, we know that kids also need that, that connection with their primary care giver, right? So we'll, I know we'll get into the equine assisted therapy later, but that's something I really like to work with the kids and the parents, is watching as a relationship is forming with the horse and being able to say, yeah, that's, let's notice that mutual trusting connection there, or the lack of, and how do we develop this more healthily in your family?
Rachel, I'm thinking of somebody that is very interested in our conversation. They're hearing you talk about equine therapy and they're like, man, I want to get invested into that. I want to learn. I want to get the training. Obviously, you talked about a couple of different training programs that are out there. Could you just kind of reflect on that a little bit more? And what is the next step for somebody that's interested in getting involved?
Yeah, I'm a natural lifemanship proponent. So I would, I love natural lifemanship. I've done the natural lifemanship equine-assisted psychotherapy for trauma-informed care. But they have a whole bunch of things out there. Like I said, the EMDR. To become a certified equine therapist, there's several steps to take, but natural lifemanship is a great option. EGALA is also a great option. It's not what I like to use, but it's a really good option. Either way, get in touch with one. But there's some things you have to be aware of, is finding a facility in your area, or be willing to put a lot of work into finding a barn that you can use and getting insurance and everything like that. So maybe even looking at your area of, is there a place I could go shadow or see and get more information on how they do it? Because that's a big thing. Most people aren't just going to be able to pull a horse out of their backyard and bring them into therapy one day. It's a little bit harder than like therapy dogs or something like that.
And I'm thinking about somebody that's out there listening today that, you know, they're feeling like, maybe I would actually benefit from going in and actually receiving the therapy side of things as it relates to equine-assisted therapy. I know that you got Dr. Google out there and you can look up different places, but any other steps that you might offer them if they're interested in possibly getting that help and care?
You know, that's a really good question, because I don't really know. Natural lifemanship might have a searching tool to be able to look for ones. I know AACC does, but I don't know if they do. I'm not sure if there's, if you can search by equine. Anyway, natural lifemanship, and they're based out in Texas, so they do have intensives. Therapists can go out and do an intensive. I did mine online during COVID times, so you can do yours online as long as you have a facility that you can interact with a horse. And the horse doesn't have to be trained. That's another big part of this, is that the horses are not, they're just horses. They're just horses being horses. They are not specially trained to do this work. We pick them based on some personality traits, and of course, trying to pick ones that'll be safe. But sometimes I do allow people to get bit in the barn too, if it seems like this is what needs to happen to help you understand this concept. Usually, we try not to let that happen.
Yes.
But it's, you know, we say, hey, the horses are going to be horses.
That's right.
We had one gentleman lift one of our, we have 3 miniature horses too, so we do use miniature horses as well, but we had one gentleman lift them up and carry them. One of the things we talk about often is this appropriate, in that, is it helpful for both of you right now? But overall, you know, you can use really any horse for the program. I think some people use mules even.
Wow. It's remarkable. Obviously, I know that there's a lot of different opportunities out there. And as you mentioned, through AACC, Christian Care Connect, if you look us up, ChristianCareConnect.com, you can literally type in your zip code. It'll show you all of the practicing physicians, all of the different clinicians, counselors, coaches, pastors, everybody in your 100-mile radius of area. So that way you can potentially look through the descriptions, see if anybody offers equine-assisted therapy. You can also look it up on the website. But a lot of different opportunities across the country. that I would encourage every listener, audience member out there to just go check out, because God is doing something special through, again, equine-assisted therapy. And I know this through you as well, Rachel. So something I want to talk about now here for a moment is the faith-based side of things and how faith has anchored you when working with, whether it's the Amish population group, when seeing God reveal himself in the therapeutic setting through a barn with a horse. What have you noticed just about what has God taught you in your clinical experience?
You know, I think we start to carry all of that vicarious trauma, right? And we hear some of the really, I really don't have a good understanding of whether my experiences as a therapist is the norm or whether the situations I work with are more severe. But we see some really, really severe situations coming through our inpatient or intensive outpatient program. But over my time, I've been a counselor for 5 years now, over my time, I think as I started to feel burdened about why all the brokenness, right? But there is this moment where I realized, okay, yeah, sin broke our world, right? It broke our world. And sometimes people are coming to me not because of their sin, but because of someone else's sin. Sometimes it's their body was broken because of sin entering our world, and they have, you know, all these imbalances going on in their system. But either way, sin had broken our world, but it doesn't end there. Right. And my hope as a counselor is that oftentimes people want to come in. I think this is our culture in general right now, is people want to be just accepted as broken. Right. Well, I'm broken and that's OK. And you love me because I'm broken. Well, yeah, but I also love you beyond that.
Yeah.
Right. And experiencing that with my relationship with Christ, that, hey, we are loved beyond that brokenness to a purpose, to another end. Right. Mm-hmm. In this world. Yeah, we're going to continue to suffer. But I think about that verse, take heart, for I've overcome this world. Right. Oftentimes when people are sitting in my office and asking, why did God let my brothers rape me? Why did God let my dad kill my mom? Why did God, you know, these just horrible, despicable things? I go, OK, I can't answer that one. Right. But what I can tell you is that outside of this world, right, death and suffering and stuff in this world, it feels like paramount to us. But beyond this world, there is victory over that. In the next world, there'll be no shame. Right, the next world, there'll be only perfect love that says, hey, I'm going to love you as you deserve to be loved. And that hope is something to hold on to, that we continue to, why we keep fighting. Therapy is fighting over and over and over again. But why we keep fighting is because we're pushing on towards that end goal. And that beyond this world, healing is going to be finished. And in this world, healing can happen, right? But I think that's the encouraging thing for me, is saying beyond this world, it's done, right? It's defeated. It's over. My striving isn't going to do anything about that. Yeah. It's done and it's been defeated and we have that victory.
Wow. You know, I was thinking as we're talking about equine therapy, as you're talking about like who our God is and just his presence in our life, that in this world we will have trouble, but we can take heart or have courage because he's already overcome the world. There's comfort in that. But there was a guy by the name of Todd Pierce. I don't know if you've ever heard of his name, but he goes around and does ministry with a horse. So like he literally has this rodeo style thing.
Yep, I know what you're talking
about. And he actually takes like a wild stallion, like a horse that has never been saddled before.
Yeah.
And he gives this display and really has us almost be representative, like the horse represents us.
Mm-hmm.
And he represents like a guide, right? And so he's trying to help muster in this horse who has had a lot of different experiences potentially with people, not really sure, doesn't really trust him or anything like that.
Yeah.
But he just slowly and gently has this calming presence. Mm-hmm. And eventually it gets to the point where the horse like comes to the end of him or herself. Like it stops fighting back, it stops bucking, it stops trying to escape, and it comes to the end of itself. And I've seen this in person at this one gathering that I went to, and Todd literally said one thing that always stood out to me. When the horse came to the end of himself and he put the saddle on and he jumped on top, he said, did you notice it? And everyone's kind of like, what did we notice? And he said, when the horse didn't know what to do, the only thing it knew is that it knew where to turn. And it turned to him.
Yeah,
because it had no way out. But it turned to the one that it could potentially trust again.
Yeah.
And so that same idea, you know, what would you say to maybe a person out there listening who they've had bad experiences with faith? They have been hurt. They have been wounded. They have been abused. They've had trauma after trauma after trauma, Rachel, in their life. Mm-hmm. People like you've sat with and done a lot of therapeutic work with. What would you say to that person about just one final word of hope and encouragement about who our God is and how even when they don't know what to do, they can surely know where to turn?
You know, betrayal trauma is such a big thing. And in our church, there's so many, there's power differentials, and it's the most vulnerable place,
yeah.
right? People come there and they feel like we should be accepted, and then they get hurt. And it's a form of trauma. I think the fight or flight takes over, and they want to fight the church. They want to run away from it. That all makes sense to me. When we work with the equine therapy, I know I said it before, building mutual, trusting, connected relationships.
Yep.
And that reflects our relationship with the Lord. Anything good, the only truth in our world comes from the Lord, right? Anything good comes from Him. So when people have been hurt, I'll encourage them, let's just try in the bar. Let's build a new relationship. You can be scared. Mm. You can be angry. You can be hurt. But know that this horse is a new person, mm. right? I think about when Jesus came in and he said, I didn't come to help the people who are well. I came to help the sick.
That's right.
Right? So these people that have been hurt, know that Jesus still loves you. He still cares for you, right? Mm. His love hasn't changed. People hurt you. People who spoke outside of his truth, who maybe were dealing with their own brokenness. We know hurt people hurt people. Right? But when we can stop focusing on our own hurts and focus on the God that loves us in spite of those things, right? That is willing to meet us where we're at, that gives us mutual. It's equal, right? What we feel and think is important to Him. He's not just there dictating what He wants from us. He's saying, hey, I care about you. I want to meet you where you're at. There's that trust. He trusts and gives us the trust that we don't even deserve if we're honest.
Yeah.
And we can trust Him. It might take work to build that trust. It's not something that should come naturally when you've been hurt. And then there's that connection. That connection is the payoff. The reward for that is feeling that love and that safety that you had wanted in the church that you were disappointed in.
I think of Dr. Henry Cloud's 5-step process of trust. Mm. He talks about understanding. In Hebrews, it talks about that we do not serve a high priest that cannot unempathize with our weaknesses because he has been tempted and tried in every way, shape, and form. So he understands everything that we may be going through in this moment. Mm. He has pure motives. His word says that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Clearly, the motive was about the mission, and the mission was a rescue mission for you and for me. Mm-hmm. On top of that, he has the ability in Ephesians 3:20 to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine.
Mm-hmm.
He has a perfect character. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And lastly, he has a perfect track record.
Mm-hmm.
He has never left us nor forsaken us. He is for us, and he loves us with an unfathomable, pursuing love.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe, just maybe, when nothing else has worked, maybe I would ask somebody today to come to the end in themselves to give God a try.
Yeah.
Because he always comes through when you begin to look for him in those ways.
Yeah.
Rachel, my friend, I know you talked a little bit about the practice that you're serving in currently. You said Springhaven?
Yeah.
Talk to us more about, maybe there's somebody in the local area that's seeking
yeah.
help. How can they find out more about it, and how can they find out more about you?
Yeah, so Springhaven Counseling Center is where I work in Dundee, Ohio. You can look it up at springhaven.us, I believe. and I am on the website, but also you know, if you're working with people as counselors, if you're working with people from that Anabaptist background, we do have the inpatient facilities. And I know if it were me, and I refer people out from our facility often, but maybe you have someone that you're like, I don't want to hospitalize them. I know that's not going to be the best case for them, but they need a higher level of care than what I can offer. Springhaven, where I work, is fantastic. With you know, we take women and men. We do not take perpetrators is the only thing. But there are two other ones. Green Pastures is in Pennsylvania, I believe, and Rest Haven is in Indiana. So look up these other options. There are these really great places that seek to make these people feel comfortable and provide the care that they need outside of. We know that they don't do well in traditional treatment facilities because they're going to feel ostracized, and that's not therapeutic, right? So feel free to look that up and just, you know, consider what there may be a good in-between situation here that's better than putting them into hospitalized care or into a addiction facility that can't really meet them where they're at right now.
Rachel, let me say this on behalf of all of us at the AACC, my dad, myself, Ben, everybody involved. We're just grateful for you and the work that God has called you to. Thank you for your faithful yes. Thank you for educating and equipping us today with some more practical tools to help and to really provide culturally sensitive treatment and care to care for people God's way. You've been a blessing. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.